All right, we're back from a week break here, and what's the date today
when we're doing this? February 3rd, yeah.
So it's the 3rd. We just got back. This is our first week back from our annual winter vacation. So we talked a little bit about vacations, and this year we scheduled it a little bit differently. We went from a Saturday to Saturday. A lot of times we'll go Sunday to Sunday. And I liked that in the way that we got back and then we came into the gym and we trained on Sunday, which was nice. Got a workout in. We worked a little bit and got ahead of just Monday, the day. It's always really rough if we get back from a trip. You know, we'll get back 10:30 on Sunday night or something really late, and then diving straight into Monday, and it's just like you're kind of disoriented. And this was I feel like the smoothest transition of getting back. And I think, you know, we're talking about, that's where a lot of people get thrown off, is it's those transitions, whether it's our college students going home over winter break, people, you know, traveling out of town for work or whatever it is. It's that transition and getting back where, you know, I was on such a good run training. For 6 straight weeks, I came in 5 days a week, and then I went on a vacation or did this or that. And then it's just never been the same. And I think planning those transitions can really help. I think we should try and keep booking those trips Saturday to Saturday.
I agree. Yeah. And, you get like a little discount if you book while you're there. So that's exactly what I did, like Saturday to Saturday. And not only that, like it gives you a day to go. I think what a lot of people don't think about is like go grocery shopping to get set up for the week. Yep. You know, just get started on laundry, get like all the excuses of why you would miss workouts or not eat healthy or get back on track, kind of like squash those with an organizational day, I think is important. And, you know, to kind of like piggyback on your topic of like transitions, I think we all get into routines that feel very comfortable. And, you know, if you have a life transition, you know, like you were talking about, like from winter break, the holidays back to normal life, or vacation back to normal life, or big life adjustments, whether it's you're single and you're getting married, or you're married, you're having children, that's where I really see people kind of get off or kind of lose their footing and are a little slow to make adjustments and holding on to their old routines. But I see the same thing with people if, you know, you don't have those life changes to help you make those transitions, hold on to like something that's not serving you for too long as well. And that can be to your detriment, you know, health-wise. So, you know, if you're a CrossFitter and you've been CrossFitting forever and you're single and you can kind of do whatever you want in life, you've got the same job, the same work schedule, you're going to maybe feel at a certain point like, hey, I should take a break. I should do like power hours, or maybe I should just go like run a little bit more this spring. But you kind of hold on to this routine because it's worked for you in the past, but like holding on to things that don't serve you. And then also like not kind of like finding your footing quick enough out of different transitions. And I think, you know, a lot of that just kind of comes down to trying to kind of quiet your mind, and instead of like thinking it through so much, kind of feeling what your body needs.
Yep.
So if it feels beat up and like, oh, just feels achy all the time, and I'm CrossFitting, lifting heavy weights, you might need to deload for a little bit and go through a month or two of a little bit more conditioning, a little bit more body weight work. Or if you've been CrossFitting for a long time, but you just feel like you're stale, going through some power hours to gain some strength. And also kind of calm down your nervous system, which we've talked about neurological adaptations before. But just, yeah, like that transition period, I think is really, really important. And then it, you know, kind of brings us back to like a meditation practice, if you can do that. Like, how do you quiet your mind? Meditating every day, kind of quieting your mind to see what you need to do, I think is very helpful.
I've been on that pretty consistently, even when we were on vacation.
Yeah, you really got super into that on vacation.
Yep.
So can you talk a little bit more about like your meditation and like the journaling the specific type of journaling you're doing now?
Yeah. So, each day I'll do, a meditation. Some are guided and then some are, it's just music and meditation. And there's a couple different practices that I've played with lately. And it's like anything, at first it's really hard and then it gets easy where I, now I can click into it and, you know, fall into like almost like a trance like state for 20, 25 minutes. It takes about 5 minutes, but I'll lock into it where I would, you know, when I first started doing it, sometimes I would just like lay in a room listening to music or a guided meditation. My mind would just be racing in 50 different ways. And that's all I did. And I didn't like hit that state where I like calm my nervous system down and everything. And it took, you know, it took some practice to get there. And now I'm there. And it's not just like a skill that, you know, you maintain like riding a bike. I have to kind of keep it up to do that. And then,
I think that will be helpful for people to hear because I'm really trying to enforce this with my clients. And that's where they get hung up is they just feel very frustrated when they can't get their mind to calm down. And that's something you and I have spoke about, like, and you had some resistance to that, to like,
yep.
You know, cause you're just like, this is a waste of time. And it isn't, it's almost like learning how to do double unders. You got to just keep practicing it and your body will kind of get into that rhythm of what it's supposed to
if
do.
If you're someone who runs with, you know, you have a decent amount of anxiety or say you leave work and you're bringing it with you or whatever it is, it doesn't have to be like, you know, I love what I do here. I just think about there's a million things going on. And so I'll have my brain has 50 things like when I'm walking out of here. What's cool about the meditation, it's almost like a reset. Like I'll go in feeling a certain way and it just completely changes the channel and it just kind of like wipes everything clean. My anxiety drops a whole bunch. It's a great practice that I've just added to my daily routine. That is, it's helping me become like a happier, better person. And then the journaling is something I do at night. And it's something that I read about in this book from a author who is also a spinal surgeon named David Hanscom. And he had some like chronic pain issues. And then he also is a spine surgeon. He works with people, but he had 15 years of like, he had like anxiety and OCD and like chronic pain issues himself. And then he figured out all these strategies to kind of mitigate it. And the biggest one that he really advocates for is journaling. So it's not keeping a journal and like ruminating on the thoughts. And I was kind of skeptical at first. And then I started to notice it work real well. You can write down, I mean, it can be the angriest thoughts you have, like you can be mad at your spouse, a relative when you were a kid, whatever it is, whatever you're just feeling like bubbling up, you write it all down for, I don't know, it doesn't matter. It can be 5 to 15 minutes and you can even do it up to twice a day. I do it once and right before I go to bed, you write everything down and then it'll just slow down. And then it's like, you can't hardly come up with anything else to write. For me, it's usually about 3 pages. And then when you're done, you rip it up. You're done with it. You don't go back and read it and ruminate over it. You rip it up and the thought process is it kind of you're not your thoughts and it separates you from that. And reading in the book, they don't know exactly why and the mechanism in your brain, why it works, but it does.
Do you feel like it helps you sleep better then?
100%. Way better. I was having some pretty nasty insomnia issues and a lot of it had to do with like our daughter was waking up a lot and kind of breaking up my sleep rhythm. But then I just wouldn't go back to bed and I'd be all like wired and this has helped me tremendously. So I just recommended it to someone. I sent him a text.
What's the name of this guy?
The book is Back in Control, and it's a guy named David Hanscom. And then he also has an app that I just started using that, let me pull it up real quick just in case anyone's interested in it. It's pretty cool. The app is the Doc Journey, and the Doc Journey is what it's. So the book like kind of lays out the science behind everything, and then the Doc Journey is like the action steps, and then the app just kind of helps you walk through the action steps. And so it's something to play with now, and I've had some success with it. I really like it.
You helped me on our trip too.
Yeah. So for those of you guys who are listening, you know, Kate and I, and I'll kind of like get into like, we went on a trip. Sean and Julie are good friends. Julie used to work with Kate at Body Biz. We all went to Turks and Caicos, to the resort that we like to go to beaches each year. And we're having a phenomenal trip. We're working out, doing partner workouts every day. I really recommend, you know, as I'm getting into the story, and we're going to be adding some of this stuff to our Edge on demand app. So if you guys are ever looking for travel workouts, we have this Edge on demand app, which is all of our old from the pandemic. Yeah. So I shot workouts and stuff for around 400 of them. Daily workouts, really cool. It's all dumbbell and body weight based stuff. We're going to be loading the workouts that we did, but what I've really came into, I think we found a good rhythm in travel, is total body workouts for the most part and partner workouts if possible. If you work out with your friend or your spouse or your partner, it becomes a part of that vacation and it's a lot of fun.
It's fun. It just gives you something else to share. Yep. And
we did a lot of that in Tulum as well. Yeah. So I'll give two quick examples, and this kind of leads up to what happened with Kate. So one of the workouts was, it's a body weight complex, one we actually did use in Tulum. We just did 50 rounds for time. It's one burpee, two air squats, three push-ups, four alternating lunges. Tag your partner, then they go. And it's 50 rounds. You end up doing 25 rounds of that.
Took us about like 14 minutes.
14 minutes? Yeah. So 15 minutes is a right around the range we almost nailed every workout in.
Yeah.
So, and then I think the next day we did a one-arm kettlebell. You could use a dumbbell DT 50-35. So 12 deadlifts, 9 hang power cleans. We used the kettlebell, and then 6 shouldered overhead, and the other partner planked. And that was 15 minutes. So you do the right side while they planked, then they would do the right side, then you would do the left side. So you weren't just beating the crap out of yourself. You're only hitting one side with a 50 pounder. It's not like you were doing a full barbell DT, but slowly you warmed your whole body up.
And we always finish with like a 10 to 15 minute, like, I mean, you can find like on YouTube, there's tons of free yoga classes. You could throw that on. I always took them through like a 10 to 15 minute yoga sort of routine, and it just feels great. And then we're really active all day. So that'll gives us like, it's a good workout, but then we feel like walking on the beach. We feel like if we want to paddleboard, or you snorkeled a lot, play with the kids on the beach, like just having enough energy to enjoy things on your trip without wanting to just sit around and like lay.
Yeah. You're so much more active. I mean,
I was looking at my steps. I mean, and you'll tell the story hitting, how I got. I was hitting 10,000. I hit almost 10,000 steps even the day after I got hurt.
Yeah.
You're shuffling around
20,000 steps a day. So on these trips, and even like in Tulum, we're doing yoga in the morning, and then these workouts are meant to keep you feeling really good and invigorate you. And that's the thing. We drank a little bit, you know, every single day, but we do these workouts. And then what we found out, and we didn't even know they had for the 6 years previous we went, is they had a cold plunge right next to the gym. And it was kind of like up off this
thing. Julie discovered it.
Yeah. So they have a cold plunge, and I never really understood the hype. You know, people are getting into these cold baths. I didn't really get it. And so we figured it out, like, I don't know, maybe the second day. And Kate and Julie got in, and, you know, they're like hyperventilating, and I'm kind of laughing. And
Julie
then,
was stoic the whole time. Yeah. I was hyperventilating to begin with.
So I got in, and like, I'll jump in and I'll swim in, like, you know me and like the cold ocean.
Yeah, you
and,
don't mind it.
But this caused, like, the first time I got in, I was like, I sat in maybe like 15 seconds. I jumped right out. Probably did that two more times. And then everyone else had done it for like the 3 minutes until your body kind of numbs out. And then you can kind of sit in there exponentially longer. You could sit in there 10 minutes after that if you wanted to. I freaked out. I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. Finally, I got myself to do it. And like your pain, you know, for me, it like rose for about a minute and then it just held on at this kind of peak for another 30 seconds after that. And then after about 90 seconds, you start to get a slow drop off. And then after about 2 minutes, it starts falling quick. And after about 2.5, you're good to go. And 3, you can tell you've completely
settled. But there's no like set. I mean, that's not set. A lot of it is just your resistance and how fast you wrap your mind around. You're here. You're going to stay here. You're okay. Calm yourself down.
Long story short, after that first day, did it every day. And it was exponentially easier. By the last day, you know, I jump in. And,
so what are some of the benefits to this? Like, why do people, what is all the hype? Because, I mean, we all like went back and researched it and we're kind of like really into it after that.
So CrossFit's actually doing a big challenge on it now, like, you know, getting 12 minutes in a day. I think a lot of it is like inflammation. Generally, the endorphins that it creates in your body and those feel good like endorphins from it almost kind of induces like the small like panic in you. It's those feel good hormones and endorphins, I think, that have the main benefit, at least that I saw. For about 2 or 3 hours after we did
it. Say for 3 hours
you afterwards. You felt freaking great. And
and it's the same sort of endorphins that are released if you like have some chocolate or drink an alcoholic drink.
But it's
or,
slow. And
yes, like, but just, that's like it goes away in like 10 minutes. Or, you know, like your workout that you do in the morning will release endorphins, but then it kind of dies off after like, I don't know, 20 or 30 minutes where this is like a slow drip where you just feel really good. But yes, the inflammation, especially on vacation, like being in the sun and then having the alcohol and like just you'll get a little inflamed and it felt really good.
Yeah. So I'm into it. It's tough to wrap my head around like jumping in an ice barrel like outside when it's 20 degrees out right now. But I get it. And it's like something that, you know, I might dive into more in the future. And so that was cool. Well, that led into, you know, that's our first like 3 or 4 days. And then so we're kind of wrapping up a night. We're out. We're picking up our kids. They have like a kids camp. I picked up Oscar. He's at a little older kid camp. And then Kate's picking up Charlotte. And I get back to the room and Kate and Charlotte are dancing and Kate hangs off. It's like a bedpost. They're playing around on the bed and it snaps. So the bedpost snaps and it's a tile floor and she falls flat on her back and she hurts her back bad. Like it took, I was scared. I was, you know, I wanted to like maybe call, you know, some sort of medical attention. It like she couldn't get up. I didn't know if she had broke her back. Slowly but surely she was able to like get up and get to bed, but she had really bad spasms. And I knew it wasn't going to be good when she woke up in the morning.
My body went into shock. So this, I mean, and I just kind of want to share this cause I think it's very it's still very interesting to me. My whole body started shaking and going into shock, like convulsions, like it out of my control. And I think, you know, kind of coming back to this now, I think it was such a, it was such a shock to me mentally and physically that that's where a lot of the pain was coming from.
Sure.
And I'm being very careful working back into this, but that's where Brandon really came in and helped me. And I called Maddie and she has she's very calm and has a very calm presence. We did like a little video call, but to just get my, body to neurologically calm down because that's where it just did not feel safe.
So you eased into it and then within, you know, you got 10,000 steps in that morning. I mean, you couldn't even move. And then by the, you know, you were walking so slow. The next day you were on the elliptical And then you're doing like bird dogs and things in the gym and doing like your plank holds and hollow bodies and things
like
that.
The only thing I could think about was just literally getting through the rest of the trip without ruining it for anyone, for our kids, for our friends. Like, I'm like, you know, if I can just move around and not be in so much pain, I can enjoy myself.
By the end of it, you were doing really well. You know, you had 3 days left or so and, you know, you did great and really made you made such a quick turnaround, but a lot of it, you know, got right into like meditating and like basically calming her thoughts and her mind down to where, and she wasn't doing anything stupid or aggressive with her body, but got everything to calm down to where like, it was really cool to see all these things that we've worked on come into practice with an acute injury to calm you down. And now you're back in the gym, you're already doing some workouts like prescribed, back to doing that, you know, you're picking and choosing and cherry picking a few and making sure you're safe. But you're doing great. You're on track to, you know, do the open and stuff where, you know, right away it was like, that seemed like completely out of the question. It's just been cool to see you like make that comeback and use some of the tools that we've actually been talking about kind of leading into this.
It makes me much more passionate about it, like everything that we're talking about and doing. And
it seemed like a catastrophic injury. Yes. I mean, it was like, shoot, she might've broke her back. Like she can't move. This isn't good.
I did have like I really feel like we all kind of have an intuition though, like a deep, deep intuition when something like that happens where we can feel like, okay, I could feel like I'm going to be okay. I don't know how, but it's going to be okay. Yeah. And I did not want to seek any medical attention because I really felt like they were going to have me go through the litany of MRIs and even just sitting in a golf cart to go to the nurse's station seemed horrible. So I was like, just let me just lay here. And I never really sought out any of that. Also, you know,
I was recommending it and I'm not I think what we don't want to recommend is like you snap your ankle and then you try and like, you know,
you make it worse.
Yeah. Yes. You don't go into like, hey, I'm going to go Zen on this and like, you know, meditate away like an acute injury that just jacked me up and got me really hurt. But she understood her body and where it was at. And it was mainly like a really nasty muscular spasm that was messing with her and, you know, taking a bunch of painkillers and things like that. We're not going to, you know, they at the end of the day, that's all that was probably going to happen. Right. So,
and just to speak to that too, and you know, everyone needs to fill out their own body, but you know, when we really got into it, yes, I could take something for pain or to relax the muscles in my back, but it's only a quick fix and it's going to make it a lot harder for me to come back from that. So when you take the painkillers, it numbs that pain, but then also sensitizes your body more to that pain. So when the pain comes back, it comes back in threefold. Mm-hmm. And I never really understood that until I had my eye surgeries and could feel that. I'm like, oh, this is awful. Like I have to get off this cycle. I cannot do this. And, same thing with like getting your back to calm down from those back spasms. If I could learn to work with my breath and do that, it's much more effective than taking a pill to do that because you still at some point have to learn to go through that process on your own. It's just punting that off. And the longer you punt it off, the more resistance you have to making peace with it. And something that you said really helped me, you said, Kate, you're going to have to sit up out of bed. This is like the next day. You're not going to not have back spasms. You're not going to not be in pain. You have to learn to work through it. And making peace with that really felt a lot like making peace with the pain in the ice bath. And it was good to even just have done that the last 2 days prior to that injury. And so all these practices serve you on a daily basis, just making you happier and healthier and be more peaceful. But then I think also in more like an insurance to your health, like how to dig yourself out of these holes.
I think modern life is set up to make us comfortable, whether it's driving in a car that's super toasty and warm when it's cold outside, you know, a big TV with 5 billion options to just numb your brain out when you get back, so you don't have to, you know, agonize over your responsibilities. You know, we could go on and on. Pills when you don't feel good, or like, this doesn't work right. I think at the end of the day, like, what these practices and what we're trying to do is taking charge of our lives and our health, without, like, as soon as something doesn't feel right,
because make your body resilient. Yeah,
going for medicine and that, or whatever it is. And that's all, you know, whether it's that cold exposure, like people getting in saunas, doing these CrossFit workouts. If you can go through, and that book talks about it, it's called The Ring of Fire. If you can go through this ring of fire where everyone wants to stay away from it, oftentimes right on the other side of that, and just like in that ice bath, like, you hit that ring of fire where it's like, oh shoot, all of a sudden all the pain is gone.
And you create, you know, like, your own natural euphoria, yeah, versus like having this food or this like alcohol, which is still great, right? Like, and we want to enjoy all of that. But I, you know, to your point, like, the lifestyles that we all live now, basically the only pain that we're in is our own mental pain that we kind of cause ourselves, yep, most of the time.
And there's a bunch of little rings of fire, whether it's getting out of bed and, you know, when your alarm goes off so you can get to the gym, like, that's a tough decision to make every day. For, you know, if you're coming here at 5:30 in the morning, which we have a lot of people who do that, like, that is a little ring of fire in itself. And then you always feel way better for having done that. The small one for me was that ice bath every day. Like, we get done with that workout and I'd be like, oh man. We're walking up towards it, I'm like, this kind of sucks. And then after it's all done, you're drying off, I'm like, man, I feel like $1 million. And that little twinge of a hangover from the drinks that night before and or whatever, it was gone and you were reset. And I'm like, you go through those little rings of, and just doing the meditation every day, like, man, there's a million other things I can do right now. I don't feel like doing, it's like almost like my son fighting, taking a nap if we want him to, you know, it's like, hey, you need a nap. Like, you just seem tired. He'll scream and no. And then he gets up. He's like, I feel so much better.
And it's almost, yeah, like the more you resist it, it's the more you need it. Yeah. And like, seeing our son, when he's the most tired, the more he resists it. So if you can even start to catch yourself in your life now, like, what are you resisting doing? And that's probably what you need to do the most. But it was just, you know, we just want to share different things that we're going through. And
yeah, kind of walk through things that you might be able to pick something up while still, what I'm going to get into now, things that are directly relevant to the gym. I don't want to read this like school announcements every day, but you guys all be interested in hearing, you know, I think what's going to be happening in the gym, some things that are coming up. The CrossFit Open starts in 2 weeks from when we're shooting this podcast, a little less than that once it comes out. We put a video out already. If you didn't catch that, I'm going to go over a couple of things. You'll go to games.crossfit.com. You'll sign up for affiliate CrossFit Grandview. You'll find the team CrossFit Grandview. I have not finished the judges course yet, which I'm going to today or tomorrow. And then I'll be able to set up some of those. Like, if you can't find a team, it'll be up there soon. The way it's going to work, the weeks are going to look a little different for 3 weeks just at the gym. You'll notice people kind of getting together, judging stuff. If you haven't done the open or you're not really familiar with it or how we do it here. We have designated times for the open. The way we don't want this to go is people randomly showing up, bringing in friends, or asking coaches or staff at random times to come judge them without having set something up. So we have designated times. The workout will get dropped Thursday evening. And then
at 8 p.m., is that right?
Yes, I believe okay. So. And then Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. in the main gym, we'll have time available to do that. And then again, from 1 to 3:30 p.m. And then on the level 2 side, actually at noon, Once the open's going, I'm not going to have a class program for Friday. It's going to be kind of a walkthrough for those guys. And then they can actually get an opportunity to do it. If you really want to do the workout, you can come in around noon and you'll have an opportunity anywhere from like noon to 3:30 on Friday. Saturday, all of our classes are going to be doing the open workout. So 7 a.m. through 1 p.m., we'll shut it down. We'll run the first, so the 7, 8, 9, and 10 a.m. class. We're going to run those just like regular classes. And then from 11 to 1 p.m., you'll still sign up for an 11 a.m. class and a noon class. We are going to run that competition style. So what that means is I'm not going to be putting you guys through a big group warm-up. You'll sign up for 11 a.m. or 12 p.m. When you get in there at 11 a.m., I'm going to have a athlete brief. So I'm going to talk about the workout. I'm going to go over the standards of the workout, all the rules. What we'll then do, I'm going to give you guys 10 minutes or so to warm up. You will, within that class, find a judge. So one person's going to go, one person's going to judge. And then we'll go ahead and flip that. The next heat, same thing.
So if I do sign up for the open online and I show up to the 8 a.m. class, do I need to have a judge watching me to put in my score?
Yes. Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So I think that's something people need to know. Yeah. You can't just do the class, count your own reps and put it in. If you want a score that's going to be validated, everybody needs a judge.
And the classes will be set up to do two heats. Each class will be set up to do two heats. If you just want to do the workout and not have anyone judge you, you're going to modify it in a way that isn't like, oh, I'm doing the scaled version, or, you know, you're just going to modify a piece or a part of the workout to just make it your own like you would a class. You don't need to worry about having a judge. That being said, we're going to run each class to have two heats, so each class can have a judge and a person. The way it works from 11 to 1, we're basically going to run 4 to 5 heats in general. You'll do the workout, you'll judge, or you'll judge and you'll do a workout. You might judge 2 or 3 people just helping out. That last heat, so the one that'll go anywhere from like 12:30 to 1 p.m., like maybe it'll start at 1 p.m., because we want to make sure, especially for our heavier hitters, people are trying to make quarterfinals, we'll give you plenty of time to like warm up, get your perfect little setup for the workout so you can score well and you know, you've been putting in all this work all year to do well, and this is your big event. We're going to make sure it's set up optimally for you. That's the time to really come, and that's going to be a lot of fun. You can bring your friends and family in to watch. People from other gyms, different affiliate owners, they actually come in and watch it.
We have a DJ here.
We have a DJ during it. John, he'll be here. I'll be mic'd up, you know, hollering at you guys. Mike will be in here shooting video, taking pictures of that time as well. It is a awesome time. We've had like historic moments in CrossFit here. Also during that time, you know, I expect a bunch of people from the Arnold, heavy hitters, guys like the Buttery Bros came into town last year. You know, we had even like Matt Frazier and his wife were around during this. Like, this is a really cool time of year for our gym. And if you haven't experienced it, that 11 to noon time or that 11 to 1 p.m. time, I highly recommend you come in and do that if, you know, you want to participate in the open and for it to really feel like a CrossFit competition for you. Sunday, for these 3 weeks, we will not have a skills class. So skills class is going to be canceled, and we're going to be running open heats from noon to 1. And then your last chance is going to be on Monday, 7:30 to 8:30, and then 1 to 3:30 again.
To do the open, to submit your score.
Yes.
So you have to submit your scores by Monday evening for the open. So that the workouts get dropped Thursday at 8 p.m., and then Monday you have to submit your scores. So
Correct. Don't
wait to the very last minute. They need to be validated.
You turning in your piece of paper where we're going to have a station doesn't submit your scores. You submit your score online. The piece of paper is for me to validate your score and check it off. So you guys submit your scores manually. Not every year I'll have one or two people like email me like, I didn't see my score. It's I can't
you
submit
have to
it.
Do it.
You
yeah.
have to do it on your
and
own.
Then you have to validate it.
And then
correct.
I validate your score.
Yeah. So yep. the way that we really try to uphold our integrity here is for Brandon to really look through everything. If something seems off, he really questions it. So people know that when they see a score from us, it's not some bullshit.
Correct.
So if there's like some crate, like, hey, I've never heard of this person and they're like winning every workout. We're like, okay, who's judging you? What are we doing? Like, really try to dig into that and just uphold our integrity with what we're doing.
So in the biggest thing, and that's why we have these designated times, like you guys, our members here, we don't allow you to like, don't submit a score if, you know, you can't do the workout and barbell during 24-hour access time. You can, you're more than welcome to do that, but then you will have to go through the CrossFit video process. So that is, and that's all set up and you can look at how to do that on games.crossfit.com. You'll have to set up a video, show your weights, perform it with the judge, and then you're going to go ahead and submit that to be video reviewed.
So again, what that means, if you can't do it during this designated time with a judge, someone that has passed the judge's course.
No.
Right?
No. You don't have to have passed the judge's course for most people, no.
Okay.
You just have to do it during these times with our coaches in the room,
okay,
overseeing things, making sure everything's legit. Now, if you can't make any of these times, send an email in through our contact box, say, hey, here's when I can do it, and then we'll find a way to get it done for you. We have a ton of times here. You should be able to find a way to get one in. If you can't, send us a message. We always have coaches on staff. Someone can kind of help you get set up, get a clock and stuff. The problem is when we didn't have these rules, what happened, and it happened actually.
Chaos.
Yeah, so every Monday, we'd have about 15 people showing up when we'd have a full level two, a full CrossFit class, barbell, everything rocking. When we'd have 15 people like trying to like get clocks, they'd set up 10 pieces of equipment. And they'd be trying to do workouts and, you know, they'd be like tears rolling out of their eyes, mad if, you know, we're saying like, hey, you can't get your third attempt on the workout right now. Just know that going into it, that's not an option to just show up then. If that is the time you have to do it, let us know and we will let you know if that works. If not, you'll have to make other arrangements, or you can set up the video and we can figure out a way to do that. That's all I want to talk about that. Quickly, signing up for the open, do it as soon as possible. Certainly by or before the 13th, because we're going to do a fun little intramural thing. You guys don't really have to do anything. We're going to draft teams. All it's going to do is it's going to put athletes under coaches, and then we're going to keep you accountable, try and make sure you're doing all the workouts. We'll score that, and then we'll have some fun prizes and stuff for the teams that win. All it is you get a point for participating. If you have someone on your team who gets a top three score in the gym, that scores your team 3 points. It's a simple, straightforward intramural thing. It's not going to take a ton of effort on your part. It's just going to be a way to keep us all accountable. Following the open, or during the open, workout format's going to be a little different. Monday, we're typically going to just have a Metcon. Tuesday, we'll have a strength and a WOD. Wednesday and Thursday, we'll have Metcons that, you know, they're going to have a mix of strength, kind of everything involved. Friday will be more of like our workouts where we're going to be like rowing a lot, maybe farmers carrying, doing like shuttle runs, things like that, to stay away from the movements that will be in the open workout on Saturday. They'll be released Thursday. I will make my Friday workout before Thursday. And then after that, I'll make a Sunday workout, which normally is a longer enduring workout. It's going to be a strength and a WOD. Reason being, I want to get the heavier workouts in Sunday and Tuesday for people doing the open. And then we kind of come down the other side of the mountain to build up for that Saturday. That's only going to be for 3 weeks. Okay. Following that, our spring cycle is going to be broken up a little differently this year into two mini cycles, 2 6-week cycles. One is going to be a little mini rebuild. So we're going to do some strength bias programming, some stuff that is, so every other week we'll kind of alternate between a couple different lifts, building up on those. After that 6 week rebuild of strength, we'll do a 6 week, mini Murph prep cycle to get everyone prepared for the volume of Murph, which is another little event in itself. Level two, we'll have a little deload, and then we're going to go into like a summer, like a longer summer cycle. And about midway through summer, you already have to start building for that next year. So that's just a preview of where the programming is going to go. We've already started to plan all of that. After the open, March 4th, we're going to have a party at Woodlands Backyard from 5 to 9 p.m. And that's going to be a ton of fun. Free food, free drinks on the house, celebrate finishing the open, even if you didn't participate in the open. That's what's going to be called our spring social as well. I'll put a little Facebook event up. We'll send out emails and stuff as that's getting closer. But that's going to be March 4th from 5 to 9 p.m. I just wanted to touch on all those things. Again, we'll keep putting communication out on that. I just want to put all of that on your radar. So all of those of us who are planning on doing the open, we're, you know, that's right in our front. If you're not planning on doing the open and like scoring it, participating in it, be a good sport, hang in there, support people who are doing it. It's 3 weeks. It's not going to affect your training a whole heck of a lot. The workout format of the week is going to look a little different, and it's going to be fun. So cheer on all our athletes. You know, again, this year we've got a good shot with some of our athletes of, you know, with the team of making a semifinal. So we're going to make a good push for that as well.
And one more thing, like the summer shred, if you guys, that's something you want to do and you don't want to do the open, that's going to kick off April 22nd. On a Saturday. So that's okay. Something else you can look forward to. And that's 6 weeks of kind of doing different like little running conditioning sort of events outside all around Columbus. So That's a fun one to also do. So to look forward to.
Yeah, we go all over the city. We do like High Banks, Hoover Dam. We run, we do obstacle courses. It's a ton of fun. We have a group of anywhere from, you know, 18 to 30 people each week. We start with a 5K, end with a 5K. It's more running based. It's outdoor workouts. It's a ton of fun.
Yeah. So you have about like 6 weeks downtime between the open, like between events. Cool.
Awesome. All right, guys, we will catch you next week.
Bye.